Welcome to Dice in Mind, a podcast hosted by Brad Brown and Jason Kaufman to explore the intersection of life, games, science, music, philosophy, and creativity through interviews with leading creatives. All are welcome in this space.
I think, and I'm going to immediately make this an explicit episode.
I know exactly what's coming.
No, you don't.
Okay.
You absolutely do not. I think that the only thing that would make Jason more giddy than time alone with the missus, don't you dare hit pause,
I can almost feel the audience, discomfort, right?
Yeah. Would be to mix.
Wait, your missus or mine?
Whatever.
Touche. Okay.
Yeah. Would be to mix RPGs, tea, coffee, maybe a Guinness.
Could be. Yeah.
And anything to do with NASA and space.
Yep.
So I think now we may need to re-record this. And if we don't, then apologies to everyone who listened. Point being is, I'm without words.
Man,
tonight.
You this are trying funny. Hard.
I am really cranking on this. What could I make Jason more giddy than to mix NASA and RPGs?
I mean, NASA and anything else. And space flight and space exploration. Let's just call it what it is.
I mean, let's be honest. If we both were given at our age space camp t-shirts, we'd wear them.
I remember as a kid looking into space camp.
I'll tell you the stories. My cousin was an administrator in Huntsville. That's how I ended up going to get my bachelor's degree or my master's degree down there.
Yeah.
Was through. So yeah, Huntsville.
Well, we are not going to space camp with all of you.
No, but I guarantee you, you'd wear a shirt.
I would totally wear a shirt. I have a NASA shirt. Yep. I have a NASA shirt. Why are we talking about this? Because naturally, this episode is focused on Lord of the Rings. No, not really. Not so long ago, just a couple of months ago, NASA surprised all of us without fanfare of releasing a role-playing game adventure. They published and released for free, because it's a public institution, they released The Lost Universe. And I got wind of it on Twitter, of all things, and I sent it to you, Brad, immediately.
Within 30 seconds.
Literally. Yeah. And then I think within maybe 20 minutes, later that day, I had to figure out who to go about contacting, reached out to the creator at NASA and asked her, would she consider spending a little bit of time with us on Dice in Mind? And man, to our delight, like, we got a response really quickly that she'd be happy to do it. And I mean, talking about making our third year of the podcast. This is absolutely fascinating. So this is, if you haven't seen or heard of this yet, although hopefully you have, check out our show notes. It's the Lost Universe. It came out of the Goddard Space Flight Center from NASA with the Hubble team. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what more can one say about it? It's really just a fascinating thing. I'm going to stop now because I could just,
I don't even know.
2 hours.
I took my shot at the beginning. When you said this to me, I'm like, I could not think. I mean, this is like a merger of two passions of yours into a document that you would have never expected to come out, you know?
Not at all. And, as Christine Mitchell, who wrote the adventure, who designed the adventure, and who's in communications at Goddard, as she told us, and as you'll hear briefly in the interview, this really, really was a surprise. They didn't They didn't advertise it. They just put it out there with a fully formed website and this beautiful PDF. Yeah, it's just, I don't, Brad, I think I'm getting a little tongue-tied too, because
Yeah,
this
it's.
is different. This is so unique. And especially because it's a fantasy adventure.
That's what really makes it interesting.
Right. It's a fantasy adventure that has to do with a whole bunch of NPCs who are scientists
Yes.
and the Hubble Space Telescope and a dragon. I'm sorry, I dare anyone to have seen this coming.
Well, and it reminds me of stuff we kind of, when we were kind of goofing around in high fantasy before we kind of started looking at sci-fi games. It reminds me of stuff we talked about, like is it Strixhaven?
Oh yeah, so
The unit.
Candlekeep, Strixhaven,
Yeah.
yes, yeah.
It reminded me of kind of, that's not what this is, but it
No.
reminds me of us trying to merge science, technology, and high fantasy.
Well, and like we had talked about, because around the time that Dice of Mind was getting started, not too long before, Starfinder was making the rounds.
Yes.
And that was right, like that was a real attempt at integrating fantasy and sci-fi. But again,
Sci-high fantasy, is that what it would be? High
sure.
sci fantasy?
I don't, none of this stuff resonates with me. It just it doesn't work for me as a player. But but the Lost Universe, it's just so interesting. And of course, I think we both love just the sheer fact that NASA came out with a role-playing adventure, and again, a fantasy one.
Yeah, and usable on any platform you want, really. And we were so lucky to have Christina
Christine,
join us,
yeah. It...
who led the charge on writing this, and we talked with her about play testing it. It's just it would, it, I can't find anything that I could use as a parallel to this, because this
Yeah,
is
I know.
just so,
I'm struggling too. What Christina, what you came up with is, and you're gonna, you're. Well, I'm trying to remember what, because we kept, like we always do with our guests, we kept talking afterwards, off air, where we could ask some more pointed questions that may or may not be public. And I mean, nothing private, but like, hey, like if we forgot to get into like the development stuff, and just what a really clever thing for her to have come up with, right? Because this was very much, I want to make sure to say this because I don't remember, Christina, if we talked about this during or after the interview at the moment, but this was very much her idea, and she was emphatic that it be fantasy, not sci-fi. The fact that the Hubble team then got involved, I don't think anyone predicted. It makes it all the more interesting.
I mean, listen, if you even have never played really in outside of like sci-fi games, we'll talk about this more after the interview, but seriously, pick it up and read it. I mean, it is just so well done.
It's really well done. And it's got a neat website to boot. And it works for a lot of ages. I mean, I know we talked about that in the interview, but it works for a lot of ages. And if you're our typical listenership, go for it. Time well spent.
Christina Mitchell is a senior multimedia specialist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, where she has worked since 2020. Christina specializes in production coordination, but as a passionate storyteller, she was always striving to find new and creative ways to engage audiences. Most recently, Christina led the creation of NASA's first tabletop role-playing game adventure, The Lost Universe. Christina graduated from Emory and Henry College in 2019 with a BA in mass communications and a minor in politics and society, and is currently pursuing an MA in communications management at Webster University. When not working or studying, Christina can usually be found at the barn with her rescue horse, practicing archery, or curled up at home with her cats and a book. Christina,
Christina, thanks for stopping in and joining us today. This is actually a very fascinating topic, the intersection of, in effect, science and RPGs. So as soon as we saw this come in, or saw this come out, we knew we had to have you join us if you were available.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you here. Okay, am I correct? 'Cause this episode will drop a bit later than when we're recording now, obviously. The RPG, and we're being evasive on purpose because we'll dive in a sec, but the RPG, or the adventure, it came out on or around March 2nd?
It
Or was
came
it earlier?
out on March the 4th.
Okay, so not too far off. I know I came across it, I think, first read, right, because of a NASA tweet. And it kind of stopped me dead in my tracks. I think I was in my kitchen, doing something either unnecessary and or unhealthy, and I looked at, well, I had my phone, I don't know. I looked at it and I saw this tweet about a NASA RPG adventure, and I literally stopped in my tracks. And one or both of my daughters, who are teenagers, were at home, and I like blurted out, "NASA did this," and they were like, "Okay." But I was absolutely fascinated, and like I don't think I left the room before I had emailed you. So thank you. I mean, sir, this is just so cool. So we'll get into this in a moment. But first, if we can ask, I mean, you're at NASA Goddard. How did that happen? That's so interesting. Like, what brought you from wherever to, you are at Goddard and you wrote an RPG adventure, pause, for NASA?
Yeah, so I mean, I did an internship with NASA when I was in undergrad. So summer of 2018, I was at the Glenn Research Center. And then after I graduated in 2019, I did another internship at Goddard and then went to an internship at the Johnson Space Center in early 2020. After that, I worked outside of NASA for a time, and I ended up getting a call from my mentor at Goddard that they had an opening and needed someone with my skill set. So I was able to come back to Goddard after that.
So proof that, just proof that internships and similar experiences in college really can matter.
Oh, they absolutely do. They absolutely do.
I saw an interview with you, like a written interview with you online, describing this as a dream job. Still true?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I never in my wildest imaginings would have thought, 5 years ago when I was graduating college, I never would have thought that I would become like the NASA TTRPG person.
That
I
has to go on
wasn't
a
even
card.
right. I wasn't even into TTRPGs back then. But so, it's definitely been, a real adventure for me.
Yeah.
And, TTRPGs are not anywhere near my full job, but
Right, of course.
I really enjoy like doing all the coordination and logistics that I do on a day-to-day basis. So yeah, I definitely enjoy my work.
Have you, so you brought up an interesting point. So you really weren't into desktop role playing before this. Keeping in mind, obviously, there, you could talk about things, you might be able to, you might not be able to talk about things. What was kind of the genesis in creating something like this?
Yeah.
Well, I started playing right after the pandemic hit. So my friends had a campaign that they had just started, so I was able to join because I'd been like vaguely interested for a while and just never, actually tried it. So I joined, that campaign that morphed into me joining more campaigns. And I started watching streams of people playing online. So got really into it very quickly. And, it was a little over a year ago that it just sort of dawned on me one day that it would make a lot of sense for NASA to play in this space. You know, there's a
Nice.
big crossover between, you know, people who love NASA, who love space, and people who love TTRPGs. And it's an audience that NASA had never specifically reached
Yeah.
out to before. So, you know, being myself a fan, I was like, you know, it would just make a lot of sense. And so I called up my boss and I was like, hey, I have this wild idea. You know, already being in the Office of Communications, I had, you
Right.
know, some leeway to chase creative projects. So, my boss was like, okay, I don't really understand what this is. I don't understand what you're trying to do here. So do some research, figure out how it would work, why it would work, and, you know, put a pitch together. So I was lucky enough that once the pitch was together, people were really interested and they were really intrigued with it. And the Hubble project picked it up and said, go run with it.
So there are like 45 things that we want to like ask and talk about, but we should probably pause for a sec because we haven't actually said this yet. So we are talking specifically about the Lost Universe, colon, NASA's tabletop role-playing game adventure. And it does focus around the Hubble, which is, I guess, lost. I mean, I don't want to give too much away because it's a
Right.
cool thing. It's a heck of a mashup, Christina. I mean, I think the part that delights me most, beyond the fact that you all did this, like you said, NASA hasn't played in this space before, and I mean, let's just call it what it is. Like NASA's not known for lots of people walking around like in very debonair outfits and talking about dinner parties, right? There is a beautiful amount of intellect and geekery and passion. And that's one of the things that pulls the nation and the world to NASA because NASA does things exceptionally well. And, you know, you don't have to be in that group, but we certainly are. But at the end of The Lost Universe, there is a diagram, if you will, of Hubble illustrated and annotated through the lens of fantasy fiction. It's kind of brilliant. Like that, I think that's when scrolling through, I was hooked. Like, I can't believe they did this. I never thought I would see this. I mean, how did this all happen? And I mean, you can tell us what you want to tell us, of course, but like, why would the Hubble people be interested in this? And why, I mean, I get the outreach element, but like, how did this like happen? Was it hard to convince people? Were they on board? Like, was it obvious?
You know, it wasn't exactly obvious, but it wasn't nearly as hard to convince people as I was expecting it to be. You know, once people sort of, you know, saw the pitch, they saw, you know, some of the metrics that I had put together about, you
Nice.
know, how many TTRPG players there are
Yeah,
worldwide,
it's
how many people
ridiculous.
tend to watch streams, you know, and once I sort of pinpointed to them like what a big community it is, people were pretty on board with it from there. And the Hubble project specifically has a history of picking up projects that are kind of experimental
Nice.
in terms of communications
Yeah,
outreach.
yeah.
So like they were, you know, on the leading edge of NASA's podcasts and things like that. So it was a pretty natural fit to reach out to Hubble first.
Well, and just the fact that Hubble, and so air quotes were audio, but air quotes, Hubble as right as a program, as a team, the fact that so much like the imagery and whatnot has been open source, like available from day one, that changed the landscape of what space programs around the world do now because of that, which is cool.
Yeah, we've definitely learned a lot, and there are so many beautiful, beautiful images from Hubble.
If you know, you talked about kind of an internship and all that, and you had mentioned too, this was kind of beyond your wildest dreams in terms of, ending up at NASA. How did you, like we kind of told you beforehand, we're kind of it's conversation, so we're kind of all over the place at times. But how did you end up in a situation where what made you choose communications, and then ultimately, looking at internships, I imagine you looked at more than one, and then you probably applied to more than one. What made you choose NASA? Which, I mean, in all honesty, Jason and I are kind of, we were kind of geeking out. We're like, man, we had those moments where like, I wonder if we were in the wrong career and we could have ended up working at NASA. You know, I mean, it's for both of us, it's
If when we were kids, if NASA had more of a fleshed out behavioral science program back in the 90s, I mean, I had like the newspaper articles hanging on my wall as a kid, like of the few things they did, right? If that had been a thing, 100% I would have tried to go in that direction, but not the point.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of a funny story for how I ended up here. So when I started college, I was studying psychology.
We
So
forgive you.
it's right. So I started out as a psych major. I had always had like an interest in storytelling. Like I have always been a storyteller. I love fantasy. Like as a kid, I would be reading a different book every day. So I was always that kid. I love stories. But I had gotten an interest in space as a teen. I really wasn't interested as a little kid. But you can blame Star Trek for that.
Excellent.
When I was, in between, I think it was my first and second year of college, I went to a local fair. I think it was the Appalachian Fair, and it was NASA Langley's centennial that year. So they had a
Oh, neat.
trailer there doing outreach. So I ended up wandering over. I had very long conversations with the NASA representatives that were there, and at the end of it, they were like, "Okay, you need to change your major and come work with us, and here's how to apply to internships."
Oh, cool.
Wow.
So 2 weeks later, I changed my major to communications, and
Wow.
the next summer I was interning at NASA Glenn.
That's incredible. Wow. Talk about when a system works.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny because they had never been to that fair before. And,
Wow,
I
that's
just
so cool.
happened to wander over. It was just one of those things that it's like, well, this is, it's just kind of wild how I ended up here.
Have you heard, and I imagine so this is maybe an obvious question, but I'm the type of guy that doesn't catch the nuances at times. As this came out, were they play testing it inside? And now that it's out,
Great question.
have you heard like feedback from folks that maybe are in other areas for other than Goddard where you're located? Get feedback about playing it.
Yeah, so we did some internal play testing within our group, and I set up some play tests with friends externally to get their lens on it, and then we did some internal play testing, which was a lot of fun. Like we all just had a blast with it. Everyone who worked on this project was internal. I do want to say like we didn't hire any game developers or anything. Like we did it
Impressive.
all in-house.
Wow.
So everyone was there because we really wanted to be there, and it was so much fun putting this together and play testing it with this group who worked on it. But I really haven't heard much feedback from people playing it yet. I'm hoping that that starts to roll in soon. But I'm still definitely looking forward to getting some of that feedback.
I imagine it takes time. I mean, especially given that, as a public entity, the distribution, it's granted NASA has a ridiculous reach, but still the distribution's a little different than if it's a company, a gaming company, who can seed this out where people are looking, right? Boy, a handful of days after we emailed you, which is just a few days after this came out, a friend of ours, our friend Scott back home, he texted me and said, "Hey, have you seen this?" Right? And he's about as hardcore RPG as it gets, right? The best, the most creative GM I have ever known. But it's the same kind of thing of right, like this is a guy who probably at 50, I'm outing us, so be it. We did not graduate in 05, but are at 50, I'm pretty sure he still has, if not a poster of an SR-71 downstairs,
Oh,
at
yeah.
least on his phone, right? So he's like hardcore into air and space, but still, it took him another week, right, to see this, unless he was following the stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've gotten a lot of traction online, but it has definitely been sort of slow to build. Because I mean, we dropped this out of the blue. Like nobody knew this was coming.
Yeah, well
Like
done.
we didn't send out any sort of teasers to anyone. Like we genuinely just dropped this out of the blue.
Yeah.
So, you know, it what it did have an amazing splash right off the bat, but it also like I was watching just like articles pop up, and it took like about a week before, you know, we had some really, really big articles that showed up about it.
Some good things have to simmer, you know? I mean, there's a reality. Question about the thought process, kind of a follow-up to you, Brad, the thought process for the game, or the adventure. So when I read through it, and God, I got a kick out of the NPCs, I was like, oh, I'm nerding so much right now. I'm going to say something obvious, but I'd like confirmation, because it's like, well, maybe this is just accidental, but it all feels, right, in keeping with NASA, in keeping with Hubble, it all feels not just fun, but very educational. Like there's a lot of science, a lot of science in this adventure, right? I keep flashing back to the scene with friends, because my girls have been watching it. Who knew that would still be a thing? With Ross saying, I was having fun and learning, right? I mean, that's what it feels like, and that it's maybe even targeted, not exclusively, but perhaps to a certain age demographic. Would those be fair assumptions?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really have a specific age demographic in mind designing
Yeah.
this. You know, I was promoting it at AwesomeCon last weekend, and I kept having kids come up, and the parents would be
Yeah.
like, "What sort of age?" And I'm like, "You know, as long as they're old enough to battle a dragon, I think they'll be fine."
That's a loaded response. I don't
Right.
know when that
So, you know, there wasn't really a specific age in mind, but like you
Yeah.
said, there is a lot of science in it. So,
Yeah.
you know, probably like early teens and up is gonna
Okay.
be where, you know, they get the most out of it. But definitely something that pretty much anyone can play. We tried to fold the science in a way that, you know, made sense, that wasn't too difficult to understand, which is why we have like sometimes really big blocks of like NPC monologues of like explaining what this science is, what it means, sort of, you know, what it's all about. So we do have, you know, quite a bit of information in there, 'cause, you know, there are a lot of, you know, sort of complex science concepts in it. And that was actually a really, really interesting process, because, you know, this is a fantasy setting. You know, we did want to keep it fantasy,
Yeah.
as like sort of a love letter to the genre. And we had
Yes.
conversations early on of how easy it would be to make a sci-fi adventure.
Right.
But, you know, I think, you know, myself and a couple of others really pushed to keep it fantasy at its core, and then, you know, build the science in. Like, that was a really big process, was building the science in a way that flowed and made sense.
Was there a lot of input? I mean, because like even like when we were emailing back and forth in the CCing, did people with Hubble have a lot of input into the specifics, like the NPC development, those backstories, the science? I mean, I'm assuming it wasn't you designed it, you wrote it, but I'm assuming it took a team to get all of that in there.
It did. So, you know, I primarily wrote the setting, the NPCs, and the adventure. The Hubble team came in and, you know, I sort of had, when I was writing it, I'm not a scientist myself, so I sort of had like generic placeholders in, like
Right.
let's put a science puzzle here. And so, you know, the Hubble team came
Yes.
in and, you know, we bounced around a lot of ideas for
Yeah.
what would make sense, what might work. And then, you know, it was a big process, especially during playtesting, of like really merging the fantasy with the science. And there were probably 4 or 5 other people who helped with like the development and editing process, who, you know, were reading through all of it, and they would flag things like, hey, this doesn't really flow, or, you know, this might need some additional explanation. So it definitely did take a team to put it all together.
That's so cool.
Have you, and again, not to give anything away, do you think, just based off of your experience and everything like that, this could be just the beginning of something like this? Could you foresee doing this again?
Well, if I may interject, just to the
Yeah.
you can say, I was going to ask this too, so this is great, Brad. You can say, Christina, no comment. But
Yeah.
it reading through this, it occurred to me early on, occurred to us, you know, the James Webb Space Telescope. It's out there at a Lagrangian point. I mean, there's no one out there. Maybe that could be a second adventure. I mean, the Webb seems like a telescope that's going to get itself in trouble. Just saying.
So we don't have anything else in development right now, but we are definitely tracking how this is all being received, and we're also keeping our options open for the future. So that's where I'll leave that for now.
No, that's
No,
great. That's a great answer. Yeah, no, we don't want
sure.
we never want spoilers, but it's good to know that this doesn't necessarily have to be a one-off, that the future's open. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to say, and normally we don't, I kind of stepped on a line here, because normally we don't ask about spoilers or anything like that. But you know, just out of curiosity again, because I'm all over the place. What else do you do, if you could talk about it? What else do you work on or do at NASA?
Yeah, so I am a production coordinator. So I work with multimedia productions that are happening. I manage a lot of logistics, scheduling. I help, you know, assign tasks to different producers, editors, things like that, and keep things on track, keep things on schedule, and sort of act as a bridge between the multimedia department and whatever mission we're working with at the time.
Well, wow, like a project, in effect, like a project manager in many ways.
Yeah.
Just keeping,
Big time. Yeah.
you know, hurting the cats and everything like that to.
Yeah.
Had you already done, I mean, you had mentioned your passion for reading, especially fantasy when you were a kid, and obviously you've just written this adventure. Had you done much writing along the way? Is this something you've done over the years?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely written quite a bit that I have in folders on my computer, but nothing that I've, you know, ever shared with the world. So this has been a very new experience for me, because this is the first thing that I've really put out there.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Way to go big, like right up front. I mean, because
Right.
what I mean, what a super public.
Right. My
and B though,
friends
but
were
look at
saying that
the
it's
yeah.
oh. Yeah, my friends were saying that it's pretty much the most on brand thing that I could have done.
I think
But I'm
that's a
just
compliment.
like,
Yeah.
yeah, you know, just full commitment to it.
Have you So I know you're at Goddard, obviously a major center, and you work with Hubble. I'm curious. I guess I would just assume, I've always assumed the answer to be yes, but is your sense that just kind of generically across NASA, there's a pretty healthy gaming community?
Definitely.
You, no one could, because we're audio. Like, as soon as I ask a question, Christina, like, big smile.
I
Yeah.
mean, that's how I got started. With my internship at the Johnson Space Center,
Yeah.
it was, you know, friends putting like a message in our intern Slack channel right about the time COVID hit of, hey, we're getting a group together to play. Who wants to join? So, like, that was how I got introduced, and I know for a fact that there's a group at Goddard who does tabletop games. It's like we have a lot of like hobby groups at Goddard, and that's one of them. So, yeah, we definitely have quite a healthy gaming community.
Very, very cool. Brad, you're still muted.
Whoops. We are had a little doggy in the background. We are, I mean, Jason, I think probably once he saw it, you texted or called me, I think within
Like
5 to 7 minutes.
immediately.
Yeah, 5 to 7 minutes.
Just such a cool thing.
Downloaded call. That's pretty much the way
Yes, it was.
it worked. We are excited to hear about how kind of this progresses and how it kind of permeates and synthesizes out there. And kind of excited to hear and see what comes down the road, whatever that may be. And we really appreciate you coming
Oh
on.
man, so much.
This is,
Anything else that, like,
yeah.
before we let you go, like, anything else we should talk about? I mean, anything else you want to get out there, whether you or the game or anything?
I would, I think we've pretty much covered it. I had a tremendous amount of fun just putting all this together. The setting, the NPCs. I loved putting the NPCs together. Just overall the adventure and, the team I worked with was absolutely phenomenal. So it's truly been an amazing and wonderful experience, really from start to finish.
We
And we're
just two people, but kudos on your writing and everything like that. It's just,
Yeah, bro, seriously, well done.
it's
Yeah.
and down the road, if you publish a novel or anything like that, we'll
We'll be
be
in
one of,
line.
yeah,
Yeah.
we'll be in line.
Oh, thank you.
In
It's a big
the
compliment.
no, no, in the interim though, with Artemis 2 coming up, this would be a great thing that could easily be put on a tablet. Just saying. Right, like I'm not sure how you'd handle the physical dice in orbit, but like there are online dice rollers that work just as well in cislunar orbit as they do here. Just wouldn't it be cool if someone could play this game in orbit around the moon?
That would be really cool.
That would be talk about a
That would be cool.
first. Talk, I mean, to our knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, I think they have played tabletop games on the ISS before.
Say more.
I can't remember the specifics
Interesting.
of it. I think it's been a while, but at some point, I think that they did
Oh, I didn't
play
know
some
that.
tabletop games on the ISS.
Oh, we
And
gotta look into that.
you've now created a wormhole by which Jason will
We'll
fall
never
through.
get out, right?
Yeah.
Well,
That's
it's a good wormhole. It's a good wormhole.
yeah, oh
Is.
yeah.
Oh,
Oh
that's so
yeah.
cool. Christina, thanks so much for spending a little time with us. It's such a pleasure to meet you, and congratulations on, I mean, the major and ongoing and lovely success. And thanks for to you and all the team for producing something so lovely and unexpected.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you all this morning.
So as we grab our tea and coffee here at Audubon Court, and sit down to talk about what's on our mind, it's interesting. Audubon Court was a bookstore and a tea and coffee shop,
All true.
and it is now a virtual tea and coffee shop for us. Not selling books, traditionally
No.
buying. Although I am going to say this is a different topic that you would bring up versus Audubon Court. I have been culling my cadre of books because with the stuff that's come out and coming out for games, like even some of the traveler stuff, I've run out
Wait,
of
are you
room.
into Traveler? Just kidding. Okay,
Kind of,
so
yeah,
you've
a little
run,
bit.
the
So I've
bookshelf is
had
a
to,
real concern, yeah.
yeah, so there's some RPG stuff that I'm it's going to go to a good home. But it's mostly because I'm kind of started to focus around, and it's really kind of funny. There are games and people we haven't talked to yet that we would love to.
Of course.
Custom, designers from our new friends over at Free League.
Oh yeah.
But there are some other games that are,
Cough, cough, Tales of the Loop, cough, cough. Yeah.
yeah, there's some legacy stuff that's out there that I'm just not going to play.
Yeah.
There was a game store here that closed, I want to say it was like 10, 12 years ago now, or they were moving. It's the one that I took you to
Yeah,
with
it's a
our
great
friend
store.
Brian.
They're not closing, are they?
No.
Oh,
But they
good.
moved from a location further north on that same road that we went to see them, Highway
Yeah,
100 here.
right.
And they were closing out, and it had to maybe
Oh,
12,
no.
14 years. No. This is where I
Oh.
picked up all my True 20 stuff, which is what introduced me to Green Ronin.
Oh, cool. Right.
But there was some stuff that, and again, when I say I'm moving it, it's not because I don't like it. It's because I'm running out of room and I just know I'm not going to play it. I want to say the full title of the Song and Fire and Ice. In effect, it was the what's that Game of Thrones RPG. Not
Oh.
the board game, not the card games. This
Right.
was a series of books came out, and I think I got like almost the whole series of it for like $25.
Is that like a series of books where you're just rolling for sex and violence?
I didn't really get into it, and I just
Okay.
haven't had time. So I
Yeah.
found someone who was interested in
Oh,
it,
good.
and they're going to get a good deal on it. And then a couple other things, just because, again, just because I move something out doesn't mean I'm not interested or anything. It's just,
Well, you and I, we've talked a lot about this offline, how if we're not going to read it or play it, we just don't want to hold on to it anymore because we want to stock our shelves with the things we're going to use.
yes, and you allow yourself a smaller space for this than I do, and so
Well,
you.
it's starting to become an issue, but yes.
Yeah, not as much as me, but
Yeah.
ultimately, we both have a finite amount of space. It is
Yep.
not traditionally these larger bookshelves that you see some of these prolific writers and gamers have. We just don't have that.
Oh
But
no.
I've got a bigger shelf space over there, and it was built into our rec area, and
Nice.
I've just run out of. I have a shelf with our my favorite like novels, nonfiction.
Yep.
Fiction novels, nonfiction content. Ironically, some of that non, I would say a good 50% or more of the nonfiction content comes from your recommendations.
Funny.
Another 35 to 40% are like biographies, because I love reading biographies. But then the rest of it, a lot of it is I'd say a good 50% of that is RPGs. I'd say 40%.
Nice.
Yeah, the 50 is some other stuff that I've got out there in
For
different
those of you at
genres,
home
but
who are
yeah.
tallying Brad's percentages, just
I
don't.
am, yeah, no,
Go on.
literally,
Yeah, go
literally,
on.
there's a reason that I'm up to 200% because I
Right.
have run out of room
Okay.
on the shelf,
Just
and
checking.
there
Yeah.
are, and I have books nicely stacked on the ground,
No, I know you do. Yeah.
just because I've run out of room and I have to make room. And if I don't, Mrs. Brown will come down and call it without any allowance for me to make decisions. So I need to
Yes.
do it.
Marriage.
So yeah, so not the greatest topic to talk about when we were reminiscing about our favorite bookstore. But you know what? We called our shelves back then when we found something new at the bookstore.
Yeah, I never did that. No, but just made
Yeah,
room.
right.
I never called my shelves. I no, got
Back
rid of
then you
stuff.
never did.
No, I
You do it
just
now.
no, the only time I've ever gotten rid of books is if I have not read them
Okay,
ever.
so do you have the Tao of Physics? It's still on your shelf.
Yeah, it's right. I know where I
Wow.
can't. Yeah, it's right there.
I know
Next
that.
to the Web of Life, which I remember sitting in Audubon Court Books reading because I bought it there.
And yeah, I bought it at the same time.
Yep. Yeah.
And then we both got, I don't know if you got your copy there. I got my copy of the Tao Te Ching there.
Yep.
So yeah, it wasn't just, I mean, it wasn't RPG stuff back then. It
No,
was.
I have never gotten rid of books other than if I haven't read them. And same with RPG stuff. If I haven't, yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, there are, it's interesting because like you said, the stuff that I have on my shelf
Yeah.
has been read, or is reference, material.
I'm not judging. My
No, no, no.
would strongly be in agreement with you that I should cull the heck out of this shelf.
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is the stuff that is, unfortunately, I have to move is stuff that I just haven't read, or on a rare occasion, something I've read and will donate to the little libraries that we have around
Yeah,
the area
lovely.
here.
It's
So,
ironic, Brad, that you brought this up
yeah.
because my topic for Audubon Court this episode is Goodreads. I
Really?
kid you not. So, as we record this, we're a little in advance. As we record this, I've been on Goodreads now for, I don't even know if it's a couple of months. Maybe a couple of months. I use it very sparingly. You're looking
This
at me
is
up now.
this is a
Have we
shock to
not
me,
talked about
honestly.
this?
No.
Okay, so my daughters had been telling me about this, especially my younger daughter, my 16-year-old. And then we were out with a group of friends, and one of them was telling me about how much he loves Goodreads and how by connecting with people he knows he's gotten these recommendations. And so I discovered, oh,
Oh yeah,
a
you
lot
just
of,
re you requested me.
oh, well, see, there you go. Thanks for caring. And that was a while ago. So I thought, okay, I wonder if I can crowdsource occasional book recommendations. And I always in an Apple Note for years now, I've kept an updated list of here are books like on my watch list that I want to just that I might want to read, and I add them, especially if they're not out yet. And so I thought, you know what? I can do that on the phone. The Goodreads app is kind of slick. And you know, right, like the rest of the world, I can essentially have a what a want to read, and I can keep things there and get the metadata on those. And so now I don't think I ever will log when I finish reading books. It's not about that. So what I do is I just every time I start reading a book, I just log it as, you know, quote, read, so that I can see what I've read. And I'm gonna try, I thought I'd try it for a year. And so that's just funny that you were going in a similar direction. So is that related to RPGs? Well, like 2 weeks ago, Jeff Ashworth's book was, you know, that it's on that list because I read that recently, and I'm really enjoying it because I can keep my list of this looks interesting. And then if I get it, boom, I add it, I have a record of it. And I just thought, you know, after a year or so, like I'm curious, my girls talk a lot at the end of every year or beginning of every new year about how many books have you read? And they talk about that with each other. And like I remember, I think sophomore year in college, I'll finish with this. Sophomore year in college, I remember realizing in that year, I don't know if it was academic year, it must have been calendar year. Sophomore year, I remember like that winter realizing I read 10 books that year. Now, this was while in college, right? So I was reading a ton, but I read 10 books and I was so proud of that. Like, wow, that's not bad.
Not in, that's not including what you were reading
No,
for
right,
classes.
just for myself. And
Yeah.
now, of course, my daughters, they're like, you only read 10 books? I'm like, well, at the time I thought that was good. Like now it's like, wow, I
That
read
was
a
nine
lot
more
more.
than my freshman year of school.
Probably. On that note,
Well, I'll tell you, I just logged into my Goodreads while you were talking. My Goodreads account I opened in 2012.
Oh, look, I'm now friends with Brad Brown. Thank you.
Yes, and
Wow, 2012. I didn't know it's been around
it's
that
been
long.
around for a long time.
I
I
had no
use it
idea.
in conjunction with my Kindle,
Yeah, right.
because
Well,
I
'cause now it's
will,
Amazon.
yes.
Yeah.
And they had made the connection very early on. When I could buy, and I made the connection on the computer and not on the Kindle or any smart device, because that, I just wasn't doing that back then.
Yeah.
But the way you just discussed it, what's funny is, and it's like the old bypass around the city. I'm going to get there, but just hold on.
Buckle up.
If people who, and maybe I'm wrong, but if people haven't seen me since like 18 till now, I think the years that I smoked and everything like that, I think my voice sounds different. Yours, I don't think sounds different. I think you still have the same timbre and everything in your voice from when I
Okay.
first met you, maybe not.
Yeah.
Other than this last moment when I could just hear you saying, "I heard about this Goodreads
Right.
thing." And I'm thinking to myself, Wow, you sound so geriatric talking about this, you
That
know.
is, I, that
So,
is, well, so,
and
okay, so.
you are using an iPhone. You aren't using one of those elderly phones that just have one button, two, three buttons, one for your kids, one for your
Help, I've
grandkids,
fallen and I can't get
and
out.
one for emergency. You actually do have an iPhone.
So, you know,
So.
I didn't care about Goodreads for the longest time because A, I figured what would that actually contribute to my reading workflow, if you will. B, I thought it was much more of a social app. And I mean, I guess it is for some people. I don't use it that way, but I get a kick out of using it. So, okay, apparently I'm more than a decade behind the curve on this one. You know, it didn't present a use to
No,
me. Yeah.
jokes aside, it is a social thing, but what I will find interesting is you tend to talk about, I would
Bon
say
Jovi
probably,
said that about love, by the way, but go on.
again, you just age yourself.
I know.
But so did I by recognizing it. You talk probably about to just because of there might be areas that you're reading that just aren't in my field. You probably talk about 70% to 75% of what you read with me. So I'll know that. There's probably
Yeah.
about 25 to 30% that I don't know
Yeah, the
that
illicit
you've read,
stuff, right?
you know?
Right.
Yeah, that too. I'm not counting that. But it'll be interesting since you're using that for me to see, you know, like I said, a lot of my nonfiction recommendations have come from you. If there are things out there that are even not in my traditional areas of interest, that might interest me, even if I grab it on Kindle.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because I mean I would say this vacillates year to year. Like if I discover a new sci-fi writer or like there's a series that something comes out, although I keep having the problem that my well it just what a shame that Ben Bova died, but wow.
Well, you still, I still have, because I just haven't gotten to it. The Becky Chambers books are still on my
Oh,
list, you
I
know?
really enjoy those. But to that point, so like there will be years where like I think within a year or a year and a half, I read all of her stuff, right? But typical year, 70 to 80% of the books I read are nonfiction.
Right.
But yeah, boy, Becky Chambers, I would love to see another one come out by her. I really enjoyed that. And even just man, if anyone has recommendations for Solar Punk, that would be cool. Or
Really?
especially well, that's
Yeah.
kind of what she is, or
Yeah.
especially now. Like I know I saw that Sarah Loughton just did this on their podcast, but if anyone's got recommendations for like Afro Solar Punk, that's up and coming too. Just very cool stuff.
Really?
Yeah, okay. So
Oh.
we're obviously
We're digressing.
riffing.
I will
No,
say
it's a
this
beautiful thing.
before we go is another topic at some point, just based off of our conversation.
RPG
Reading
is
can be
lit.
used.
Oh,
What's that?
RPG is lit.
Well, that too. Well,
Yeah.
that actually is right in there.
Yes.
Do you read both for personal growth as well as professional growth? I tend to read a little more for personal and a little less for professional. My professional growth is done traditionally online through articles, Harvard Business Review, things like
Yeah.
that. I don't read as
Oh, I
many
see where you're going. Yeah.
business books. It's an interesting topic. Why? And you know, what I'll have to ask is the person will ask about this is the next time they're on is I'll be curious what Jim says.
Yeah.
You know, because I know he reads for both. Are people reading for enrichment, personal enrichment, professional enrichment, both? Is it a mix?
You
We
know,
can't answer that question now. It's just something fascinating.
I'm gonna have to think. I'm gonna be up tonight thinking about this, Brad. I don't think at any time in my life, when it comes to books, not articles, not textbooks or anything, right? Not the when it comes to books, I don't know that I've ever differentiated between the two.
And
If
they're
it's
truly,
I read because it's interesting.
yeah, and it, I tend to read more fiction than non. But you know, boy, based off of our fields, what we could have a good discussion about what's good out there, you know.
Yeah, stay tuned,
So
everybody.
yeah,
Yeah.
so that's another topic another day.
Okay. We probably need to wrap. Forgot to do this last episode. We're trying to get into the habit of it. It really kind of goes against our grain, but if you will indulge us, Again, everyone, if you like what you're hearing on Dice in Mind, if you don't like what you're hearing on Dice in Mind, but you listen anyways, Eric, then please rate us on
Does
your.
Eric actually listen? Or I know he
We
comments
next
periodically.
episode we're going to test that.
Okay.
Okay.
I just wonder because I know you can run podcasts at like 1, 2, or 3 speed. I wonder if he 3 speeds us through.
Hey, we'll take the free
And yeah,
download.
pretty much.
But seriously, if you like what's going on here, please leave us a rating on your favorite podcast app. That is the number one way you can help us to move up in the rankings. And why do we care about that? We just want to be able to reach out to more people, and it's ratings that allow the podcast algorithms to push us out there as just more visible. We would love to have a broader audience and hear from that audience. You know the deal. As always, be well, stay well. We will see you in a couple of weeks.